Welcome back to another edition of MMA Rated Radio. I'm Ariel Helwani, and I'm being joined today by the great Jay Glazer of Fox Sports. And no, we're not talking about Brett Favre's latest mood swings. We're here to talk about some MMA, and more specifically, the Affliction Band event going down this Saturday night from the Honda Center in Anaheim, California. Of course, Jay will be calling that show along with Frank Twinkletoes Trigg and Big John McCarthy. What up, Frank? What up, Jay? My bad.
That's okay. We get confused all the time.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
The bald head, I have normal ears.
The bald head kind of threw me off there. I'm staring at a picture of you here, so I apologize for that. I don't mean to compare you to...
You know, I was actually... That's not as bad as... Was it, a couple weeks ago, I went out to that Quentin Rampage Jackson Forrest Griffin fight, and I was sitting at a table with some wrestler with C.B. Galloway, who's a guy I trained with in Arizona, who's just on the finals of the Ultimate Fighter. Some dude and his wife come over and said, "Hey, do you think we can get a picture here?" I said, "Sure." And I stood up and I said, "Oh, Mr. White, it's a pleasure. You do a great job at the UFC."
Oh, man.
I said, how the hell do you confuse me with Dana White? How do you possibly confuse me with Dana White? Just because we're bald? I mean, I got a goatee.
Yeah.
I look nothing like Dana White.
Well, you know, it's interesting.
But if you're a trick, that's fine.
Yeah, no, I mean, again, I said that with, you know, the most, with the utmost respect, and because, you know, Frank is definitely a great-looking guy, so, you know, that you should take it as
really?
Such, but...
not really.
I'm just trying to be nice to him, because I don't want him to kick my ass with all the wrestling now and everything, but you actually mentioned, I wanted to talk about this with you later on, but you bring it up now, so... Quickly, the whole C.B. Dalloway fight, I'm watching the event, and then I see Jay Glazer walking out with him, which was pretty wild, because... I know that you're into MMA, and you know, you obviously do the great show on Fox Sports Net, Pride FC, you know, rest in peace. But that we see you walking out with CB, that was pretty crazy. What's your relationship like with CB?
I train with the guys over at Arizona Combat Sports. I had a couple fights when I was at CBS, and the moment I went to Fox, they told me, no more, can't fight anymore. While everybody else has kind of really gone up in the sport, I stayed stagnant. The only time I could really train, and I train every day, twice a day during the off season, during the NFL off season, when I'm in town. What I do is, when somebody has a fight coming up, whether it's a Jamie Varner or C.B. Dalloway or Jesse Ford, somebody like that, I go in. I'm just kind of a bit of a glorified sparring partner. I'm a guy who's easy to beat up, and you know, take my lumps. And you know, I love the sport. I've always done some sort of combat sports, but it's also, for me, it's like a little haven to get away. The guys in there really give a rat's ass what I do for a living as far as, you know, doing the NFL stuff and being on TV and all that. They're just, if you can fight, they love you. If you can't, oh well. And, you know, but we go in there and bang quite a bit. We got a real good team over there. We have Talis Leites, Ryan Bader, who's on the next season of The Ultimate Fighter. Again, Forbes, Dalloway, Varner, the Steinbach brothers, who fought in Bodog, and now Steve Steinbach is fighting in WEC. Aaron Simpson, who was the wrestling coach at ASU, and now he's 3-0. And an MMA fighter. We got a very good team, and it's I am by far the worst person there. But again, as far as the CB, you know, we have Matt Riddle there now also. But for his fight with Amir, Riddle and I were pretty much the ended up at one point being the only two guys who really rolled with CB as he started peaking. I mean, a lot of the other guys had fights, or it's the summertime, people started getting out of here, and as he started peaking, trust me, CB is an absolute brutal guy to roll with. And as it started getting worse and worse and worse, people started bailing out more and more and more, and Riddle and I became the obligatory sacrificial lambs.
Do you think he tapped? It's obvious he tapped, right?
Say that?
He tapped, right? I mean, it's pretty much obvious at this point.
You know what happened? He kind of changed his mind in the middle of it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think he was a little, he taps. He knows he taps. You know, the thing about these people have to understand is he's young. He's a young fighter. He's done this for a year and a half. That's it. And he has progressed so fast for a year and a half. I mean, you all saw him on the show. He is an absolute beast. But, you know, the things he's learning, you know, we talked the entire week about if you throw a punch or you get aggressive, throw an elbow, come right back up, pop that right back up. Do not leave that arm there. We talked about it in the locker room. We talked about it in the tunnel right before we walked out. And he knew it, and you know what? He did a great job. All you need is 1 second of brain fart to lose the fight. That's exactly what happened. You know, he also has to understand, too, he can't muscle his way out of everything. He is so damn strong. You know, right now he has this he's in the mindset he can just muscle his way out of things, and that's the same thing he had with Amir on the show. So I think, you know, what happens, I mean, fight Jesse Taylor obviously next week, but after this, he needs a break. This is his ninth fight this year, which is ridiculous. He just needs a break, and he's going to do an awful lot of technique stuff. And again, he is so young as a fighter. I think the sky's the limit for him. He is he's a different bird now.
Yeah, okay, so here's the big question. Obviously, you're going to be working Saturday night. Are you going to have like a little pocket TV sitting next to you to be able to watch his fight against Jesse Taylor?
Coach is going to text me and tell me how it goes. I didn't train with him for this fight, which means he'll probably win. So, because after, I'll be honest with you, I was beaten to hell after his last fight. Just, you know, again, Matt and I worked with him, and some of the guys got pretty bad. So I took off a little time, too. I just started coming back this week. And now I got to go this Wednesday night. I'm doing the James Tony Hinson Rockman fight in Temecula. I'm going right from there to Anaheim for the for the Affliction fight. And then the next day, I start a 45 NFL training camp, NFL day training camp tour.
Wow.
So things are going to be a little crazy. That's where what I love to fight on a regular basis or even fight. I mean, Fox don't let that happen, but absolutely, I'd love to. But it's, you know, I can do it half a year when, you know, the rest of my team, these guys train. And for that fight with Amir, CB trained three times a day. He and I would grapple in the morning. Then we go to a place called API, which is Athletes Performance, which is a place I work out with a bunch of the football players and got hockey players, baseball players there. It's a really incredible performance center. And then you go back at night and do Valley Tudo or boxing or, you know, whatever, you know, sparring is up for that night. I obviously don't have time to do something like that. And, you know, quite frankly, I'm just not that good.
No, don't be so
I'm scrappy and I can take a punch, but I'm just not that good. That's the bottom line.
Out of curiosity, why won't Fox, like, what was the reasoning that they gave you, you know, in terms of not letting you fight, amateur, professional, whatever?
The reason they gave me is, you know, we cannot have you come on TV busted up. And I say, why not? Obviously, I mean, it's clear I'm not on TV for my looks. Who are we kidding? And, you know, this year, actually, there was a day this past year where I told this story to people. I would go with Jamie Barner was fighting somebody, and Tim McKenzie, you know, who had been a teammate of mine, who now moved back up to California, all within a span of maybe 10 minutes, McKenzie gave me two big gashes on my head and up-kicked me and broke my front tooth. And then Varner, he threw a jab and I shot it under for a double and he caught me, beautiful counter, like a little uppercut, and he cracked the bone kind of right next to my nose, like the word, below the orbit, like the cheekbone. And the next day I had to go in and host a TV show with Eddie George and Tim Brown and Jason Seymour and kind of walk in all goofy, and the makeup artist looks at me and she says, "The hell is wrong with you?" And I said, "What? You're a makeup artist. This is what you're supposed to get paid for." But the big bosses didn't appreciate that too much. They had a little talk with me and said, "Never again. If you come in like this, you're off our air."
And do you do this?
I like it. All in the cardboard box. So.
And do you do this kind of thing though to sort of get a release? I mean, you eat, sleep, breathe the NFL. I'm guessing, right, even though the work that you do is, you know, is tough in the ring, and you're working against, you know, some of the top dogs in this sport. I'm guessing it's sort of a release for you, right?
Exactly, it's my haven. It really is. It's a place where, again, these guys. And I got to be honest with you, I'm very selective with who I hang out with. You kind of got to be, you know, in this position. And these guys are, you know, the guys on my fight team are my best friends here in this town. I moved out here to Arizona, didn't know a lot of people. And the reason why I love them, like I said, they do not care what I do for a living at all. We just, you know, they kind of, most of them aren't even football fans. But it is kind of, you know, they're there. It doesn't matter how crazy something gets in my other world, the NFL, I go with these guys, and they're just my boys. And you need that. You know, you need guys to kind of keep you, you know, firmly planted and keep you in reality, and they certainly do it. We're just, you get some good friends who, you know, there's obviously not a lot of drama involved when you hang out with just some fighter guys. It's, you know, you're just all kind of off your, you know, off a little bit.
Right. Okay, well, let's talk about...
They really are. It's a great escape from it, man.
Yeah, absolutely, and I wouldn't doubt that for a second. Let's talk about the business at hand. This Saturday night, like I said, Affliction Band, you are calling the pay-per-view and kind of coming out of left field here, because for a while we all thought Mauro Ranallo is going to be the lead play-by-play man. It was actually announced. You know, Mauro, big John McCarthy.
It was announced. It was kind of, yeah, I know. because I was confused about that also. He never was the play-by-play guy. The Fight Network announced something.
Right.
As if he was the play-by-play guy, and what it meant was he was doing it for the Fight Network up in Canada. So it kind of put us in a, it put Moore and I in a bad position because it made Moore look like he was fired, which he was not. He just didn't, he never had it.
Oh, he never actually had it.
Huh?
He never actually had it to begin with.
No, he never had it to begin with. He was doing it for the Fight Network, not for pay-per-view. So he was not fired. Anybody who thinks he was replaced or fired, that's not accurate. Moore was not fired. He was not replaced. It was never that way. It was always myself and Trigg. And then Big John McCarthy got added, which I'm pumped about. You know, and remember, too, it's a Fox event plus pay-per-view. Well, Trigg and I are the Fox announcers, so of course, you know, it's a no-brainer there.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
So it was not replaced. Absolutely not.
All right, well, that squashes that rumor because everyone, I guess no one really read between the lines, but it seemed as though he was the guy, and then, like, last week we hear, now you're the guys, and we never got a official confirmation as to what happened with Morrow, but now that you lay it out like that.
Oh, I'm sorry, yellow right there. I might just walk down to my, damn.
What just happened?
I walk in my living room, I got a scorpion sitting right in front of my damn couch.
A scorpion?
Oh, yeah.
All right, rear naked choke that bitch.
Huh?
Rear naked choke it. Squash it.
Man, I gotta do something with this. I think he's dead.
Wow.
That's one bad thing living out here. I hope he's dead.
Yes.
Oh, man, I hate walking down here. You know, I live in New York City. I have rats and roaches, and I don't care about the roaches. I care about the rats. But I come out here in Arizona. That's the one thing I have a big problem with, obviously. You come down and see these. I only have, like, one a year, and I'm on radio with you that one time.
We might have spoke too soon about Morrow not calling that event, huh? I mean, if you get a little too close.
So, and, you know, I got to tell you, I am pumped to do this event, though, because, you know, I've never done play-by-play, and I will tell you this. Don't expect me to be Moore Ranallo or Mike Goldberg. It's not what I am. You know, what we're going to try and do, I'm not a cookie-cutter announcer, and I think what happens, too, is... In most sporting events, you kind of talk this way. The announcers are really part of the event, but I think some announcers take it on to make themselves almost bigger than the event. I'm going the other way, whereas the entire broadcast is what I'm hoping to get across is myself, Trigg, and Big John. We're sitting in your living room having a beer with you, watching these fights together. And that's what it should be. We should just compliment and listen to some sort of reaction, get, you know, educate somewhat, but really just have some fun. And that's as if I'm just sitting there having, you know, popping open brew with you guys.
I may be looking into this a little too much, but are you trying to say, because I would actually agree with you if this is what you're trying to say. Are you trying to say that the landscape in terms of MMA announcers right now is a little thin?
All announcers. I'm saying everything. And maybe if I had that voice and maybe if I was the type of announcer, I kind of look at it that way too. It's just the way I go about it. I'm not ripping on the other announcer. I'm just saying I'm not a conventional type of. I'm not going to be your conventional announcer. I'm going to just sit there and try and, you know, really act like I'm, you know, almost in layman's terms. I'm just sitting there with you in your house. And same with Trigg, same with Big John. You know, there are broadcasting things that are very, 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 aside from Joe Rogan, where, you know, he brings a lot of fun to it, he and Goldberg, it's, you know, things are very, you know, I do the NFL. It's ABC, ABC, ABC. You watch baseball. It's, you know, basketball. It's all, you know, there's broadcasting done a certain way. And then obviously that's, I guess you said, the right way. But me as a play-by-play guy, it's not, I don't think that's my strength. I think my strength is more to sit around and BS. And I think that could, you know, hopefully it works.
All right, so you mentioned that you're going to kind of take the fan approach with this particular card, and this is like the fans' dream card, and I wouldn't be surprised if when I ask you, you know, what fight are you most looking forward to seeing as a fan, if you don't even say Fedor against Tim Sylvia, because like I said, this one's stacked top to bottom. So which fight are you looking forward to the most?
That by far is the one I'm looking forward to, but I'm also looking forward to Ben Rothwell and Andrei Arlovsky. I think Rothwell's a huge up and coming star in this sport. Obviously, we know what our Arlovsky can do, and working more boxing with Freddie Roach, hopefully gets more aggressive standing up. But I'm very excited for that one. But no, Fedor is And Fedor hit, doing the Pride Fighting Championships. I love watching Fedor. You know, it was interesting, too. I did an interview with him recently where I said, it almost seems like you're bored there. You have zero emotions. Am I accurate? He said, no, I'm not bored. I go about it. I kind of, feel bad for the guy sometimes. He said, sometimes I feel bad when I'm beating on these guys. So I let up and show them some mercy. And when I feel they take advantage of my good-heartedness, that's when I decide enough is enough.
All right,
that's a bad SOP type statement right there. that's pretty rough right there.
You think he'll be feeling bad for Tim Sylvia on Saturday?
Do I say what?
You think he'll be feeling bad for Tim Sylvia till Tim Sylvia comes Saturday?
I know. I tell you what, I don't see this as lopsided as everybody else. I think it's going to be a very interesting fight. I mean, obviously the size difference. Now, size difference did make a difference when Tim fought Randy. But I think it's kind of like Tim can go in this with having absolutely nothing to lose. And you're fighting the guy who's considered the best on the planet. I think you can take a different approach. Whereas if he lost to Randy, it's like, oh my goodness, how did you lose to a guy who's a foot shorter than you in a former light heavyweight? Whereas with Fedor, he can just let it go. He has nothing to lose.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, Tim is definitely being counted out, and I think he will put up definitely a better performance than Hongman Choi, no doubt about that. I got to ask you this because you're now affiliated with the Affliction promotion. You're calling the event, and we know that, you were at UFC 86. I saw you sitting there front row next to Chuck Liddell. What do you think of the UFC's decision to counter this show with their own Ultimate Fight Night event?
It's brilliant. I mean, I'm not involved in the business end of it. I think it's brilliant. I think any businessman will look at it and say it's brilliant. I mean, I'm not going to hate on it for it. I wish they didn't because I want more people to watch our card. I think our card's obviously a million times better, but I think it's a brilliant move. And Dana's end, take away some of the thunder, no doubt.
The show is called Ban, but you were in attendance at UFC 86. You walked out with CB Dalloway. How come you're not banned by the UFC?
You know, somebody else trying to do that same thing. I'm sitting up there with Chuck, and a guy comes over and tries to do the same type of story. Dana and I are friends. We have been for a long time, and I've done the Pride Fighting Championships. I was a color commentator on Elite XC for Showtime. We're friends. He doesn't. Everybody thinks everything is so damn cut and dry with him, and it's obviously not. So I'm sitting up there. I'm sitting between Chuck, Dana, and Lorenzo. Obviously, I'm not banned.
What happened with the Elite XC gig? I thought you did a great job in those first few shows.
I appreciate that. NFL season started. Once that starts, I can't do anything else. And we're actually going to start showing stuff on Fox. We're going to be doing the new show, though, with a lot of those old, with a lot of fights that Pro Elite owns. So we're going to show some, old King of the Cage and Rumble on the Rock and Elite XC, and some cage rates doing pretty good. We're gonna start that up, I think, in September.
Oh, really?
We're gonna start showing up, myself and Trig again. But yes. And then as far as that's concerned, there was a show. The plan was, well, I missed the first show, and because of the NFL, we'll see what the next one is. But they were in places that I just couldn't get back to the studio for Fox NFL Sunday in time. So at that point, it was just like, guys, letting us help. It's time to move on.
Is there a chance that this whole MMA thing gets so big that it might lure you away from the NFL?
I really hope I'm put in that position one day.
Really?
Really, I hope I'm put in the position to have to make a decision. I would love to. Right now, I'd love to do the dual job. Because the NFL, even though it really is a 52-week job now, in the offseason, I can do both. And again, I train every day. I'm in town at least in the off season, and do some other events and try to go as many events as I can. So there's time to do both right now. I hope it gets so huge to the point where, I wish that I was presented with this 6 years ago, so I could if it was 6 years ago, I'd throw myself in and I'd fight.
Really?
Now I'm 38 and getting old real fast, and I'm trying to do as much as I can and kind of hang in there and hold up. But it gets harder and harder and harder, obviously. But I wish I was presented with this 6 years ago. At that point, I would have jumped in fully. Now I think I could. I enjoy the NFL. I love the NFL. I love I love my buddies in there. I love reporting. I love the guys I work with at Fox NFL Sunday. I love the thrill of breaking that Brett Favre is retired, or, you know, breaking the Spygate videos. Or it's a great, I get a great buzz. So we'll see. But I do hope I'm put in that position where I have the choice of doing one or the other.
All right, final question before I let you go. I know you've been very busy, and I really appreciate the time. This is something that I've been interested in. From the moment this Affliction card was fully announced, how many pay-per-view buys do you think this card will get? Because obviously you don't have the UFC attached to it. You don't have that marketing tool behind it.
No.
But the buzz has been great.
I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I have no idea. I think if people want to see the toughest, baddest man on the planet, they buy it. I mean, that's the thing there is. I'm not talking pound-for-pound best fighter out there, most technical, but the guy who could just whip every single human being on this planet, that's who it is. So I would hope people, plus you have the allure of him training out in the woods in Russia. I mean, this is Ivan Drago. This guy is such a mystery, a mysterious character. I think he has such a big draw. I think you're going to get Donald Trump involved now and all these other great fighters involved. I think he's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. They have the ability to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I hope they obviously continue to.
You think they've done a good enough job letting the masses know about this event?
I think it's still a process. I think they've done a good job. I think it's still a process, though. You know, I'm kind of a bad guy to ask about that. Because even when we're doing the football talk, I'm always like, we got to get this out here. You know, we have this story. We got to promote this year. You know, we have this interview. We got to get it out. And so I'm always hoping for more PR. It doesn't matter what. I mean, you can get out to every single human being on the planet. I still gripe about not enough PR.
All right. Well, Jay Glazer, very gracious with your time. This Saturday night at the Honda Center, it's Affliction Band. Jay, Frank Trigg, Big John McCarthy will be calling the event. Can't wait for it. Thank you very much for the time and continued success. Yeah. Did you get him?
Well, I don't want to do it off on the phone. Just, you know.
All right. I'm sure you've been dying for this interview to end ever since you saw that scorpion.
This thing is freaky.
Thanks, Jay.
All